Thanks for connecting with us on Pod Topics, the place for engaging conversations and insightful information. Coming up next on Pod Topics, you'll hear our next episode of Moving Business Forward, focusing on businesses and organizations in the Chattanooga area. Here's a preview of our conversation with the leadership at Network Transport, a logistics company co-founded in Chattanooga by David Ferguson, who serves as the company's president.
We did our first loads in February of 2017. Me and a couple of my partners who had got together, we knew we could do it. What we didn't understand was how hard it was to establish the credit side of it, the back office side of the billing. I was an old guy that dealt on the floor, and I was an operations guy. So you really start learning that piece of it the hard way.
The business side.
The business side, the struggle. We went through a few months of hardship where we were there every day, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock at night. We were booking the freight, we were covering the freight, we were closing the customers, we were invoicing it. We seen our company grow from the three partners to quickly went to $24 million in right at 8 months. That to me was really what business is about, and owning your own business. It's about the opportunity and about how you take your knowledge and you expand on it.
Welcome back to Moving Business Forward from Pod Topics. Thanks for joining us for another episode of this series, which is dedicated to sharing perspectives and insights from the leaders and decision makers in the Chattanooga area. We're hearing from the people who are meeting the challenges they face to keep their respective businesses and organizations moving forward. In this edition of the podcast, we'll spend some time with the leadership team of Network Transport, one of the fastest growing logistics companies in the country. We'll be talking with David Ferguson, the co-founder and president of Network Transport, during this first part of the podcast. Later on, Bob Poulos, the chief commercial officer of Network Transport, will join the conversation. 2021 has been a milestone year for Network Transport, as the company was included for the first time on the Inc. 5000 list, compiled by Inc. magazine. For the past 40 years, the prestigious Inc. 5000 features an annual ranking of the nation's fastest-growing private companies. Network Transport earned a position in the top 15% among private companies within all industries, ranking 619th on this year's Inc. 5000 list. Founded in 2016 by David Ferguson and Ben Gordon, Network Transport has grown into a cutting-edge transportation and logistics provider, generating more than $40 million in revenue in the company's first 3 years and charting a revenue growth rate within the Inc. 5000 rankings of 777% during the 2021 list measurement period of 2016 through 2019. When this year's Inc. 5000 was officially released on August 17th, the Chattanooga area placed a total of 13 companies on the 2021 list. Network Transport earned the top spot among the seven transportation and logistics companies of the Inc. 5000. In addition, the performance of Network Transport during the Inc. 5000 measurement period for 2021 earned the company the number 3 ranking among Chattanooga companies from all businesses and the number 12 ranking within the state of Tennessee for all companies making that year's list. Within the Inc. 5000 national rankings for the transportation and logistics segment, Network Transport earned the number 18 place on that breakout list. For this edition of Moving Business Forward, Greg Thompson, the executive producer of Pod Topics, visited the downtown office of Network Transport. Greg sat down in the Network Transport conference room for our interview with company president David Ferguson.
As you'll probably hear around us, we're inside a very busy logistics company, Network Transport, joined now by David Ferguson, co-founder and president of Network Transport, old friend of mine for many years in the logistics business. David, I wanted you to tell everybody a little bit about yourself, your history in logistics, your history here in Chattanooga, and how you came to found Network Transport.
Well, thank you, Greg. I appreciate the opportunity. Born and raised Chattanooga. I actually went about getting in the logistics the roundabout way and really late in my career. That's part of what I tell a lot of the people that I introduced this industry to, is I actually didn't get into transportation and logistics till I was 30 years old, which a lot of people are surprised to hear that. Our training classes, when they come in, I actually spend 15 to 20 minutes every time discussing what the overall opportunity with logistics is, what the industry as a whole has to offer. At 30 years old, I was offered an opportunity at U.S. Express. actually was really excited about the opportunity. Started, as you know, you and I shared our careers there together. Started at the bottom, really started dispatching trucks, started learning how to plan, went all the way through each and every department over there, from planning to customer service to the expedite world to eventually becoming a vice president at the company. Learned a lot from my time in the transportation, what we'll call the asset community. I really learned how to run the assets, how to make sure fundamentally that the overall aspect of picking up freight, delivering freight on time, and servicing a customer, how important that was to make sure you're maintaining the relationship. Around 2012, I started thinking, I'm getting up there in years and there's a few more things that I would like to do. U.S. Express had been great to me. I had been offered an opportunity to go with a local logistics company. They had been after me for a while, a gentleman I'd actually met years earlier. I took that opportunity in 2012. To my surprise, I never thought I would leave the asset world to go into logistics, an asset-like community. I was so founded in the fact that assets were the answer to everything.
You gotta have a truck, you gotta have a trailer.
You gotta have a truck, you gotta have a trailer. I was bred on how you teach the driver is really everything to that. That opportunity really showed me that, man, that broadened everything to me. It showed I'm not limited on capacity. I was able to have conversations with customers and not say, oh, I can only cover 5 loads in Atlanta today because that's all I would land down there. Hey, I can cover 50 for you in Atlanta today, and I can service those 50, and I promise you I won't give them back. I learned that, and it really ignited another fire in me. So long, I felt so limited to, U.S. Express has a large number of trucks. At the time I was there, we were 5,600 trucks, 4,300 in the solo. To really not be limited, I started thinking, now I can start rolling with this thing. So I joined that company, that was Lipsy Logistics. I stayed there for a while, had met a gentleman who wanted me to start a logistics company for him in Chattanooga, and I started Riverside Transport. We started it from scratch in 2014, and we were able to grow it to a little over $50 million in a short period of time. Again, a bulb came on, the light hit. If I can do this for somebody else, man, I need to do it for myself. I had a group of people that I met while my time in the industry networking. So that's where the name come from, network. This is what this industry is about. It's really about networking with people.
Plus, at the time that you did this, Chattanooga had gone from, at the beginning, there was U.S. Express and Covenant. Then you had Access America come in. Then there was this growth of logistics, right? And of course, as you talk about Riverside, what I'm seeing is there's a lot of talent that you could pull from, and all of the connections that you have in the industry, people wanting to come to Chattanooga. Did that help you in terms of forming network and how you wanted to move forward?
Oh, yeah, that was actually one of the reasons it was expedited, is your relationships you met, and this was a bed of knowledge in the logistics. If you look at Covenant, U.S. Express, as you said, Access America, these are large companies, and they had already really trained the people that you needed to support your company. There was times when I first started Riverside that a couple of those companies were a little upset with me because I was pulling some of their talent.
It's competition, man.
It is, and that's what Chattanooga is. You said bringing talent to Chattanooga. Chattanooga is a great town, and if you look at it, anybody that's come here from outside, and I brought a lot of people here from outside cities, they never left. Yeah. They love it here. They do. So I knew if I could get them to here to just see the town, to see what opportunities were here, to see what opportunity we had to offer, I knew I could get the hook in them, and then we could have an opportunity to get them to stay with our company.
So kind of get us back on the timeline here. So network transportation starts when?
Network transportation starts in 2017, February. We did our first loads in February of 2017. me and a couple of my partners who had got together. We knew we could do it. What we didn't understand was how hard it was to establish the credit side of it, the back office side of the billing. I was an old guy that dealt on the floor, and I was an operations guy. So you really start learning that piece of it the hard way.
The business side.
The business side, the struggle. We went through a few months of hardship where we were there every day, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock at night. We were booking the freight. We were covering the freight. We were closing the customers. We were invoicing it. We seen our company grow from the three partners to quickly went to $24 million in right at 8 months. That to me was really what business is about and owning your own business. It's about the opportunity and about how you take your knowledge and you expand on it. We did that with bringing in a lot of the talent in Chattanooga that we were able to pull from a lot of the areas here and a lot of the training grounds that were already in place. So we're 8-9 months into it. We knew we wanted to get this company to at least 70, 75 million in a short period of time. We had set a pace, and that's where I had the opportunity, and I always reached out to a friend and who I thought was a mentor, and that was Bob Poulos, who I'd met at US Express. He had had a history at Panther. Him and I had the opportunity to meet around 2008 when he came on board, and I would constantly reach out to him because he had started his own company too, and we'd do benchmarking, and I'd say, Bob, these are the issues that we're having. These are the things that we're going through, because I knew that he had been through the same things. Skip on, we're 2 years into it. Bob and I had had multiple conversations, and he was able to introduce me to a gentleman that he had met in his Panther days named Mark Kramer. I reached out to Mark, letting him know, hey, we have this company in Chattanooga called Network Transportation. We're looking to take it to the next level. You have a lot of experience here. You have hardworking people. We're in a great area for logistics and for growth. Mark and I met, and really it's about a 6-month honeymoon process there where he fell in love with the opportunity. He seen what we had, and we ended up putting a deal together in July of 2020. The rest is history. If you look at us now on the Inc. 5000, we're one of the largest and fastest growing companies in Chattanooga and in our industry.
And you made that happen in 2020. And of course, the title of this podcast is called Moving Business Forward. And part of that focus is how you've moved forward during the pandemic. As you know, and anybody that knows anything about transportation logistics, that doesn't stop regardless of a pandemic or what. So tell us a little bit about your experience in 2020. Obviously, that being the capper that you come in and have this merger. You're now part of the SOAR Transportation Group, and how that kind of played out.
To go back to really how it played out, you really have to talk about the pandemic a little more. We had never really managed people working at home. So we didn't know how that was going to work out. How do we train? How do we make sure they're handling their workload? How do we make sure the job's getting done? How do we make sure the customer's getting serviced? Other than just looking at your freight, looking at the numbers, there's a lot of things that go on between that. We learned really quickly that didn't hurt the process. It really didn't. Now, it did hurt how we train people because we weren't able to put our hands on and able to have people in the office and develop people to the skill set we needed them to be. But as far as people doing their workload at home, you take out the travel time, you take out the comfort of being there. The quality people that you have are going to do their job no matter where they're at. And we found that out. We were very excited about it and very surprised, to be honest with you. Coming out of the pandemic, after the introduction that was made to Mark Kramer, we knew that there was a great opportunity to put these companies together. We had already had owned at the time NAV Logistics, American Logistics, and Network Transportation. So we thought if we could put this with a bigger engine that has a platform like McLeod and really will accelerate our growth and also give us the tools we need to service the customers with the growth that we were having. That's really what made the marriage work, is you have partners you can trust, you have the tools, and you have the company and the people to be able to accelerate the growth.
Well, and you mentioned Mark Kramer, and for those who are listening who may not know, Mark made his bones in the world in the equity fund side and looking and worked specifically in transportation. So he had a great appreciation and a good eye for what is a good investment. Getting connected with Mark had to make you feel pretty good.
It's funny you say that. When you start talking about private equity, the first thing you think is sometimes it scares you a little bit because you don't know what you're going to get into or what you're going to meet. But I knew by trusting Bob to make that introduction, I did a little research myself because it was a company that I, of course, founded, and there was a lot of concern about the people, and I wanted to make sure I was making the right decision, not only for me, for the company, but also the concern for the people who had made a decision to come at Network. All it takes is really meeting Mark and looking at his background, from his history to really how personal he is, to know that he's a gentleman you'd love to be a partner with. It didn't take me very long to be able to trust the fact that this man, if he comes on board as a partner with us, will be able to go to the next level. After we put the deal together, like I said, in July of 2020, we were able to see quickly that these five companies that we put together, we're going to be accelerating the growth of this one company Network. And now we really got a problem. How do we get more talent than we ever thought we would need in this area called Chattanooga? So it's been an issue. We've really had to go out and find ways to make sure we're training them the correct way, because you're hiring experienced, inexperienced people. It's been a really good ride for us, and it's something I can tell you we're looking forward to the next few years and really excited times here at Network Transport.
Well, you mentioned attracting and training talent, and you guys recently started Network University. Can you talk about that a little bit and the difference maker that it can be for you?
So Network University had always been a plan of ours. We didn't have the right person or the right system set up to be able to bring individuals in and train them up. The old way of training individuals when you hire them was you put them out on the floor, they sit with someone, and you know, they learn that job, and it's really a sink or swim mentality. Network University was set up, first of all, we had to find the right individual to do it, someone who was experienced and someone that we felt had a program that was trusted and true and had already been proven. And we were able to do that when we found Scott Gehringer. But Network University is set up to be able to bring an individual in, no matter what their skill set is, empower them to learn logistics, to learn the McLeod system, to be able to get on that floor and be able to be a productive member of the company. That not only helps the company, but it also helps the individual, since the majority of all the individuals we hire are on a salary plus commissions.
For somebody that's coming in, you talk about attracting talent and bringing people in. You guys, from my understanding of talking with you and talking with your team, you're trying to create a platform through your university and your training that anyone who walks through your doors that you feel is qualified to do this type of work can be successful. Can you talk about what you guys are trying to do in terms of changing the dynamic with that?
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. It goes back to a lot of the people that we would bring in, you could tell they were extremely nervous because they didn't have a logistics background.
Well, and it's hard too, man. I mean, not everybody's like you, David. I think you were one of those folks that was able to pick it up pretty quickly right away, and you excelled. But there are other people that it takes a little bit of time to connect the dots.
Well, I'll be honest with you, it took me a little bit of time, but I did gravitate toward it once I learned it. What we do is we take it really back to basics. And I think that's what the industry is really all about. You got to teach people how to do it the right way. And it goes back to my days at U.S. Express that I'm so thankful for. You got to learn the system you're on first, so that you can service the customer and make sure you're taking care of the driver. You got to make sure the people know how to treat the customer and how to pull the opportunities, how to close the opportunities, and how to communicate. That's what our program does. It actually brings them in, teaches them the basics of it, and then it accelerates them through a university program that takes them through almost what it would be almost a year of being on the floor training.
In eight weeks,
which is something I've never seen before. I was so excited the first time I was able to go through the whole program, because in the past we haven't had that success with it. We would bring people in, like I said, we'd put them on the floor, and it was that sink or swim mentality. Well, in 8 weeks now, we can take a person with no logistics experience. All they have to have is the work ethic and the want to, and they can come out and really succeed in logistics.
You're listening to Moving Business Forward from Pod Topics, the place for engaging conversations and insightful information. Let's take you back to our conversation with the leadership of Network Transport. In this segment, you'll meet Bob Poulos, the Chief Commercial Officer of Network Transport.
Well, a little bit earlier, we heard David mention Bob Poulos, and Bob is now part of Network Transportation and the Store Transportation Group, and he joins us now on the Moving Business Forward podcast as we look at Network Transportation and what you guys are doing in moving your business forward. Bob, it's great to have you here. Tell us a little bit about how you found your way to Network Transportation.
Well, first of all, Greg, thank you for doing this, and it's good to see you, as always. So how I came to Network, I guess my path is a long one. As David, I'm sure, told you, our paths crossed at U.S. Express. He ran operations, I ran sales. We got to know each other very well. And as we went our own ways in our entrepreneurial ventures, David to Network, and I created V3 Transportation in Cleveland, Ohio, we always stayed close and compared notes. Our businesses kind of evolved on the same path. For me, it got to a point where living here in Chattanooga, even though I had a business in Cleveland, Ohio, living in Chattanooga was the best possible option for me and my families. It got to the point where business grew and I needed to be in Cleveland, and that just wasn't in the cards.
It's true. I mean, what they say about Chattanooga, once you come here,
absolutely,
it's tough to leave.
Yeah. Never in a million years did I consider myself to ever be a Southerner. And when I had the opportunity to move down here with U.S. Express, I jumped on it, and it's just been a fabulous place to raise a family.
Well, the other thing about Chattanooga, and you know this very well, I think you came here, what, 2007, 2008?
That's right.
Over that time, it started to become a logistics hotbed.
So let's reminisce Chicago. So I was in Chicago from the mid-90s until I moved here in 2007. And Chicago went through a very similar evolution in the logistics business. American Backhaulers was a very large logistics brokerage, and they sold to C.H. Robinson. And you saw all the spinoffs that have grown into now multi-billion dollar companies over the last 25 years. That is a very similar phenomenon that happened here in Chattanooga, with large transportation companies selling and essentially these incubated startups being created, and many of them doing, one of which is Network, doing very well. And you see it in 5,000. You can see the logistics footprint, logistics and transportation footprint in the Inc. 5000.
Bob, you just referenced the Inc. 5000, and David mentioned it earlier. Network Transportation is a part of the Inc. 5000. We'll get into that in a minute or two, in the collection of Inc. 5000 companies here in the Chattanooga area. But this year was not your first experience with the Inc. 5000. Talk to us a little bit about the experience that you had with your company, V3, reaching the Inc. 5000, what it meant to you then, and what this means to you now to be a part of another Inc. 5000 company.
Yeah, so the Inc. 5000, I think, is really the list of lists for growth companies to be on. It really highlights the fastest growing companies by major metro, by industry vertical, and highlights the success of those companies. There's no fudge in the numbers. It's all based on audited financials submitted by certified public accountants. So it's 100% legitimate. We went through the process at V3. We were on the list 2 or 3 years in a row. And I felt it valuable here to really highlight the success that we've had. I mean, the growth has been astronomical. I guess what I'm most proud of is competitive logistics market as Chattanooga is, that we were the fastest growing company in the last 12 months, logistics company in Chattanooga.
And the thing is, there are some great names on that list, just from Chattanooga.
Absolutely.
What can you say about being part of that group from Chattanooga, and as you said, being the lead revenue generator out of that logistics group?
Our competition here, and I'll give all of our major competitors great credit, because we have fantastic logistics companies in this town, led by extraordinarily talented people. So for everyone that made the list, I think it's a huge accomplishment, because logistics is a growing industry. The companies here in Chattanooga aren't just competing amongst each other. There's logistics companies in every corner of the country and everywhere in between. It's a fast growth industry. For the companies here in Chattanooga to have had the success that we've had relative to the rest of the competition and the industry is remarkable.
I'd like to take a moment and rewind on your career a little bit. You talked about your love of the area and looking at different opportunities. What impressed you about Network Transportation and the SOAR Transportation Group? What ultimately led you to divest yourself of a company that you founded? That was your baby.
That's right. I think I feel partially responsible for introducing David Ferguson to Mark Kramer. It was really the opportunity to put those two mega talents together. David, with Network, had and has a great entrepreneurial spirit. You can see that in the organization. That's always what I admired about Network, and what David and his partners had built was the entrepreneurial zest of this business. The idea of connecting Mark Kramer, who knows transportation very well from a very different perspective, from the private equity perspective, but to bring in that type of talent and structure and marry those two together, I thought would be extremely powerful, and it has been.
And we've referenced Mark Kramer a couple of times. You know him well. Tell us a little bit about Mark and how he's made that transition from equity funding to getting into the game of transportation, because that's a big leap.
Yeah, Mark is the anti-private equity guy, if that makes sense. Yes, private equity is in Mark's DNA. However, he will tell you that his desire is in no way to have any type of private equity feel with this company, and it's really not. It's privately owned by Mark and the managers, just a very unique culture. But bringing Mark's equity skill set, something that really none of us have, Mark brings a level of competency to our business that it would take a long time to develop organically.
Really, what you guys are doing is, as I look at it, is changing the game a little bit with logistics. As we know that logistics and trucking, the one constant is there's always change.
Always change, yeah.
You've talked a little bit about Mark and the culture here. Is that one of the ways that you guys stay ahead of change? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so you're exactly right. One thing that's a sure thing in this business is that it's changing very rapidly. When you look at equity money in the industry, overwhelmingly, it's coming into the industry from a tech perspective. Automation, back office automation, front of the house automation, order to cash automation. There's just a ton of money coming in, and we're staying ahead of that curve from a technology standpoint. But at the core, the three of us and our management team universally believe that this is still a people business. At least for the foreseeable future, will continue to be. So people drive this business. You can see from our investment in Network University, as you see our mission statement guiding principles in the front of our office, you can see how there's just a real focus on hiring and recruiting outstanding talent and in developing them. We don't hire someone with the goal of any type of short-term vision with them. Our goal is to send them through our training program, give them what they need to be successful in the business, and offer continuous development and education. I would say the church wasn't built just for Sunday, nor is our training program. It's available all the time for people that have already graduated that might need to go back and get additional training in the industry. Maybe they're going into one of our pods and it's a specialty pod where they need additional training. We're creating a chemical industry pod, and for anyone that knows anything about hauling chemicals, there's regulation around it and there's a level of expertise that you need. So for those being placed in that pod, they may have graduated, they may be well on their way to having a successful career at Network, but now that they're going into this pod, they go back into the university for additional training to get up to speed on what they need to be educated on. People at the core is our focus, and the development of those people is overwhelmingly what we're focused on.
We talked about it earlier about this is a logistics hotbed and the competition for people and finding new people. So can you talk about that a little bit, what you guys are able to offer to folks to come in? Sounds like your focus is on building relationships.
That's right.
So can you talk to us a little bit about that and your approach, maybe how it differs from others that are out there?
Sure. We are focused on bringing both experienced, tenured people into the organization, as well as folks that have had no experience at all in the transportation industry. We're developing a personality profile, something that works specifically for our organization. At the core, you have to be customer service minded, customer service focused. We have two constituent groups here that we serve every day, and those are our customers and our carriers. Both are equally as important. Both need to be serviced at a very high level. We love hiring service workers, people from the restaurant industry we've had fantastic success with, folks that have dealt with the public. Having a technical aptitude, because transportation business is often traded electronically now, either through bid boards or other electronic means. So having an aptitude on the technology side certainly helps. Those are just some of the types of folks that we go after.
So somebody could come in, say, out of college or with a little bit of work experience, coming off the street and build a career.
Absolutely. One of our most successful new employees was our bartender at the bar right around the corner from us. And he was such a fantastic bartender. The guys offered him a job here, and he's one of our up-and-comers.
I'm guessing he makes a little more money doing this than he does tending
bar.
That's
right. And the benefits help as well. And it just so happens he and his soon-to-be wife are expecting, so those benefits come in handy.
What kind of living can somebody make doing this? Because David's talked about some big revenue numbers you guys are generating.
That's,
because I've been around logistics for a long time, hearing 25, 50 million doesn't shock me, but we know that to get to that point, you got to spend a lot of money. But with that said, you can make a pretty good living doing
this. Oh, absolutely. Our program, you get a base salary commensurate with experience, and you participate in our commission program. And I'll tell you, our commission program is, if not the, certainly one of the richest in the industry. It's based on gross profit generation, and there's no cap on it. I could tell you, every great organization that I've ever been a part of, the top producers earn more than the executives. And I could tell you that's exactly the case here. Our top five or six producers are high income folks. They do it through hard work. So this is a platform that we give to the right type of people that have the desire to significantly earn for the future. And I think that opportunity exists here.
What I'm hearing you say is, one, the sky's the limit.
That's right.
And two, you're an executive of the company, and it doesn't bother you that somebody that's out there working in a pod might actually earn more money than you do.
Absolutely not. We encourage it and we celebrate it.
One of the things that we've done here, and I'm guilty of it, it's because I've spent 23 years working in trucking and logistics, is that we've not brought people inside of logistics. I want you to spend a few minutes giving us a logistics 101 so our listeners can be conversant in this, and then kind of dive in a little bit to what you guys do. And you referenced it earlier with your pod system, how you're set up, so we can kind of give people an understanding of what goes on behind the doors and in the cubes of network transport.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Historically, in this business, there are two major roles in logistics operation. It's customer sales and carrier sales. When you come into a logistics company, you pick one. Either you're placed in one channel or the other, and you kind of stay there historically. I think of friends of mine from years ago that went with logistics companies, and they may have gone into carrier sales, and here we are 20-some years later, and they're still doing carrier sales. Many of our competitors have very simplistic operations where there's carrier sales and there's customer sales. It's a little bit different here, and we did that by design because we believe that we can better service the customer, come up with unique service offerings, and a stronger overall value proposition if we focus on industry verticals. So we have 5 pods here in Chattanooga, and then several pods in our branch offices, all of which have a growing vertical segmentation focus. Today, we're spread across 7 different industry verticals: automotive, manufacturing, chemical, consumer products, food and beverage, retail, and what we call building services, which is essentially our flatbed business. When you go through our training, you get placed into one of those industry verticals. In each pod, though it doesn't today focus solely on that vertical, there is a twist to each pod. So pod 1, call it, does 80% food and beverage. So if there's an interest in that, then you get placed in that pod. If you come from another company and you've got a background in the flatbed industry, for instance, or the flatbed segment, and that's something that you want to continue doing, then we'll ultimately place you in that segment of business. I think we've got a little bit more targeted approach, and we do it specifically for the goal of strengthening our value proposition to our customers. When you're talking to a chemical company, I think it's really important because of all the rules and regulations around hauling hazardous material that you've got a skilled staff of people that do that every single day. That's their specialty.
And through your training program, you're able to basically focus people on that.
Yeah, no doubt.
You've been in this town for quite a while now. Mm-hmm. What makes Chattanooga a logistics hotbed?
I think the fact that it's anchored by 2 very large asset-based companies and having that footprint certainly helps. The fact that geographically it's so centrally located, or crossroads, no doubt. Just the growth within the city with Volkswagen moving here, Amazon, and I don't know if you heard about the Ford plant that's being built. Now that's on the other side of the state, but Ford is building a facility that'll be significantly larger than the one here with Volkswagen. Tennessee's very quickly becoming an automotive hub. All the vendors will continue to move into town, and this is going to be an electric vehicle plant. With that growth, I think just brings talent in. It brings more commerce, and with that, the need for transportation. Businesses followed the talent pool, quite honestly. It was one of my challenges, honestly, up in Cleveland, Ohio, and it's nothing against Cleveland. Cleveland may be 10 times the size of Chattanooga, but the talent pool here is significantly better, in my opinion, more skilled specifically in transportation.
Where would you like to see network transport be in 5 years?
I'm asked this on a pretty regular basis, and it's easy to put a revenue dollar number to that, but I hesitate only because I'm more concerned about our healthy growth over the next 5 years. I would like to see us employ 3 times the amount of people that we do today. We have 72 total employees, call it somewhere around 50 are here in Chattanooga. I'd like that to be 150 or more, which I think is completely realistic.
When you focus it on that, you know that if you're adding people, you're adding revenue, you're adding growth.
That's right, absolutely. People generate revenue in our business, so when I think in terms of tripling the size of our headcount, we're more than tripling the size of our revenue base.
Is there anything else that you'd like to share with us?
Yeah. What's very special about network is our family type of environment here. David and I and the management team take it very seriously the folks that come aboard and how we develop them and how we train them. The way we look at it, it's not just that employee, but it's their family that we're supporting here. We have that type of family environment. It's a get it done type of environment. I can tell you there's many nights that I'll leave here at 8 o'clock at night, and there's still two or three people out on the floor covering freight, servicing a customer, because it's just what we have to do. There's that type of environment here, which I think is uniquely Network.
That closes out our visit to Network Transport on this edition of the Moving Business Forward podcast from Pod Topics. We'd like to thank David Ferguson and Bob Poulos from the Network Transport Management Team for joining us on this podcast. If you would like to learn more about Network Transport, including the latest job opportunities within the company, please visit the company's website, networktransusa.com. That web address again, networktransusa.com. We'd like to thank you for listening to Moving Business Forward, a podcast dedicated to bringing you insights and perspectives from Chattanooga area business leaders. Be sure to check podtopics.com for new episodes of the series. We'd also like to invite you to subscribe to Moving Business Forward on your favorite podcast platform. You can find Moving Business Forward on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio Podcast, and all other major podcast services. By becoming a subscriber, you'll be notified whenever we post a new episode, and on some of those platforms, you'll also have the opportunity to rate our podcast. Once again, thank you for spending part of your day with us on Pod Topics, the place for engaging conversations and insightful information.